You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
It's unbelievable. A quarterback, and I said, was terrible. It's so much more wrong than Brady. It's so much more wrong than Brady, me calling that quarterback terrible.
He's the greatest quarterback ever.
I mean, him. You can make the argument that him and Mahomes are kind of better than Aaron Rodgers ever and Tom Brady, that they're going to revolutionize the position.
The Bills went an hour and 15 minutes without running a run play.
Jesus.
I was on Titans 9.5 last night, and I was just going, please keep running the ball. Because it is not working. I would really appreciate it if they keep handing to Devin Singletary, because taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, not smart.
No reason to. He has mastered the position. Like, you can see, he is so he hasn't?
I mean,
he's so good, Woody.
I mean, he's not Tom Brady yet. I mean,
well, that's true.
You've made him a master of the position. Usually your measurement is he's got to win everything.
And he will.
As recently as 24 hours ago, you were saying, prove it to me, Bills.
Yeah.
That was 24 hours ago. Now they've outscored
the
Rams and the Titans 72-17.
The Titans were the one seed in the AFC last year.
Well, this is Greg Cody's late today. I'm eager to hear his perspective as a renowned homer, because you saw what happened to us after two games. And Whittingham, I want to encourage you to stay strong, even though it's stupid for you to stay strong, that rooting for yourself to be right is to root against joy, is to root against Miami, is to root against QAnon. It is so soaked in ego as to be dumb for you to go against.
Not rooting against QAnon, rooting against TwoAnon.
That's
them also, but
$5.
We're not the only ones overreacting, because I heard Monday Night Countdown crew basically say, when someone brought up Duper and Clayton, they were like, they weren't this explosive.
The Marx Brothers.
So Monday Night Football crew had our two receivers above Clayton and Duper already.
Mm. After two games, and the reason I'm encouraging Whittingham to
stay strong is because
somebody's got to do it around here. Because after two games, we sound insane.
No.
On NFL Live, they were broadcasting live from Buffalo, and the Bills fans were loudly chanting, Tua sucks. And this made, the Dolphins banter on Twitter really funny, because they were like, oh, we live rent-free in their heads. And it was just so lacking in self-awareness, because anytime another quarterback bounces a ball at a receiver's feet, I see Tua fans retweeting it onto my timeline. Like, Josh Allen isn't perfect all the time.
I saw it last night. Josh Allen threw one pass into the flat that landed at the feet of a receiver. I see, everyone's perfect.
The accusation that the Dolphins are living rent-free in other people's heads, when anytime Chris Sims sneezes, I find out about it, or Emmanuel Acho puts out another stand-up video where he talks to you like you're stupid, is out there. I see it on my timeline.
Josh Allen doesn't like making that throw. Throws to the flats. He just likes throwing 40, 50, 60, 70 yards. He doesn't like that throw. He's not accurate there.
One of the things that he does, and this is going to be held against Tua, that Herbert and Josh Allen can do this. When Josh Allen rolls to his left and just slings his arm and it goes 30 yards downfield accurate laser, you're like, good God, that's the strongest arm I've ever seen.
And it's like Jake Kumerow sometimes. he has Stephon Diggs, who had a brilliant game, and that was a hell of an acquisition for them, because you could also, there's a line of demarcation when everybody became wrong on Josh Allen, and it might time up with the acquisition of Stephon Diggs. But he's making other receivers really good. Gabe Davis took a while in development, had a really good couple of weeks before
he was out last night.
And they just slot in Jake Kumerow, and it doesn't really matter. That's a sign of a great quarterback. They can make people that have just been hanging around in the league really good sometimes with their output.
It's when skill players and coaching give a quarterback margin for error. And I think that's what they've afforded Josh Allen, is they've given him the room to grow in a system to where maybe his imperfect accuracy at times in his career is sort of fixed because wide receivers are wide open. Stephon Diggs has the time in the room to adjust, even though now he's being hit in stride because Josh Allen has kind of miraculously improved from an accuracy standpoint. We don't see that happen very often at NFL level.
And Chris, Brian Daboll's obviously being crowned right now. He's 2-0 in the New York market. He has a big Monday nighter against Dallas, and you have in his resume what he did with Josh Allen. But don't overlook what Ken Dorsey has done in his career. The best Cam Newton has ever looked was with Ken Dorsey. The best Josh Allen who has ever looked is with Ken Dorsey on the staff. And these are quarterbacks that a lot of people had questions about.
It's so terrifying how dominant he is outside of the pocket and in play action. Like, you just cannot beat him if you let him outside of the pocket. It's just dangerous. Amina was saying how in week one he was like literally like 5 for 5 out of the pocket, 6 for 6 or something from play action, like 11 for 11. Like, it's insane. If you want any chance at stopping the Bills, you have to keep him in the pocket.
For all the time we talk about football and evaluation, I don't know if you guys are as interested in this part of it as I am. As I'm watching Jalen Hurts and Tua, two quarterbacks who would have never been allowed to exist 5 years ago at their size and height because they weren't big enough and they ran too much.
On the same college team.
On the same college team, but as the measurements change, right? And you get to a point where the Kyler Murrays and the six-footers are out there, and you're like, okay, Bill Polian doesn't think Lamar Jackson's a quarterback, but what we're going to do here is just try and evaluate quarterbacks who look different than any quarterbacks we've ever seen, and here's the centaur who represents athletically the best of all of them, because he can do all of the things and has the biggest arm you've ever seen.
And yet when he entered the draft in a draft that is more scrutinized and analyzed than any other draft in professional sports, no one really told us he could do that running the ball. He was
alleged to be a statue.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he has okay straight line speed, but he didn't flash that. It was a surprise.
They told us Daniel Jones could do it, and none of us were watching him at Duke.
No, I knew Daniel Jones could do it because he did it against Miami. I watched Josh Allen. Did not know he could do that.
You watched him at Wyoming?
Yeah, because he had all this hype. Remember, I was
He's
a Browns
gambling
fan.
Again.
No. Remember, I was a Browns fan. I was scouting
the
quarterbacks.
The last time he was
out.
Gambling. Yes.
You were watching Wyoming football when he was completing 50% of his passes at Wyoming and had a skill set.
Chickens.
What are you talking? I don't watch Wyoming football. Huh? I watch everything.
I remember when he was a prospect. It's like, I'm going to watch this just to see what it was about. And it actually, to your point, because in some ways, him and Herbert represent the scouts' representation of physical tools, size and speed and athleticism and big arm. Whereas you talk about Baker and Kyler as kind of the representation of kind of a newer age thinking about the quarterback position. It doesn't have to be as stereotypical as standard. And yet, these scouting sort of wonders, big quarterbacks with big arms, are also dominating. Just goes to show we know nothing about this position.
I have never seen Mike so outraged about anything than the accusation that he's not watching Wyoming football.
I had a football season in which I became the king of Colgate football Twitter. And I don't watch Wyoming? That's FBS. That one's easy.
Greg Cody has arrived. He is winded and late. The Tuesday experience has begun. I am very happy because he's here, and it's rare that you get this kind of get on a Tua Tuesday, where
yes.
I'd be totally fine doing the entire show just analyzing the fandoms of everyone in this room, because yes. There are a lot of people in precarious positions right now. Billy's out there exposed. He never does this. At 2-0, he's bought a Tua jersey. Chris Cody was red-faced.
It shipped already.
And snorting.
Nice.
He got the Dolphin football gene hand-me-down from his father. It's his mother. That family has cared about Dolphin football. They raised those kids on losing Dolphin football. And so I'm grateful that on this Tuesday, we've got the biggest of all the Miami homers in the history of this journalistic
yes,
town.
That's correct.
Here to celebrate that he predicted
yes.
a week ago that the Dolphins were going to win the Super Bowl. Are you screaming and yelling in the fourth quarter and cheering and pretending to hide it?
Honestly, you remember your journalism days. You're writing on deadline, and I was getting ready to write that they were losing 38-35, and I was going to write that it's an exhilarating loss, and if there isn't such a thing as an exhilarating loss, there ought to be, because this was one, and then they come back and win.
I had the Dolphins number 5 overall in my team rankings this year, and people on my own staff were laughing at me. I've been leading the Tua bandwagon since the beginning.
Yep.
By the way, the admission to that bandwagon is now doubled.
Can you slow down? You came in winded.
He's very excited.
He's right on everything.
It's all adrenaline.
It's all adrenaline.
He's right on everything for one quarter. This is why I'm asking Whittingham to stay strong. The tone around this has changed. You guys were scared for 7 quarters, and then one quarter, everything's changed. No. And it's Super Bowl, and it lacks perspective in a way that's a bit alarming.
How were you writing that they were going to lose 38-35? Like, at that moment, you thought they weren't going to come back with the ball?
Well, that's what you have to do, is you're writing based on the score when it's that late and that
close.
You start writing that column. You have to. Otherwise, it's going to take forever. So that was in my mind, and then they score.
Greg, I need to calm you down. You've come in super hot.
This is what Tua has done to this town, Dan.
You have come in.
People all over town are talking like Greg.
I know. Greg, I will give you the floor to say whatever you homerifically like about Tua. You came up the stairs running. Why you'd be late today, I don't understand, because you seem really eager to be here.
No, I am.
I was doing the moral victory stuff, too, at 38-35. I'm not going to lie. I'm not saying I was predicting them to lose or win, but I was doing the thing of, hey, even if we lose this game, this team showed us something today.
By the way, yesterday was the deadline, and we didn't get certain answers from certain people as to whether they were 2 in or 2 out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, Chris, you were writing a mental column in your head?
I was. I was doing the show for my friends. I was just like, guys, it's okay. This was a good fight here.
He's
going to
replace me at the Herald. I haven't told him yet.
How did the conversation go with you and your dad? Was your dad also up at 4 a.m. pacing the house, happy that he thought for a quarter he's got an offense?
He was very excited. He was struggling with his medication on Sunday, so he was wheezing and coughing a lot. I'm just saying it was part of my Sunday experience.
But does he struggle with his medication because he just doesn't take it? Because that's what happens a lot on Tuesdays.
He didn't reorder it. He needs to be better about
it.
Is he good at chewing it, or like do you have to hide it in peanut butter?
I put it up his butt.
I'm all medded up now. I went to my main man yesterday. I'm good.
Your main man?
My main man.
I got a back alley.
I got 4 doctors, and there's one that
he's got to connect.
There's one of my 4 doctors who I would adopt. I would pay for his whole lifestyle and keep him in my house.
Greg Cody is wearing a shirt.
I apologize. Richard Rubel was a rainmaker.
That's right. Yes.
You can do local ads. I'm here to do all the local ads that you grew
up with. Great mortgage rates.
All of them through radio, through television, through Saturday infomercials.
Thank you, Roy. It was Anthony Caliendo who was the main man.
Ah, Caliendo. That's right.
My main man.
He always had rates like 1% less than everyone else.
Staples Singer's got a great song called My Main Man. Oh, my gosh.
We were just talking about that the other day.
The Staples Singers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Greg Cody is wearing a shirt with his own face on it.
Yeah, we call that the floating head shirt. It's available at the Greg Cody, GregCodyShow.com merch store.
What is the website?
There's a Greg Cody Show.com?
There's the GregCodyShow.com. There's a website, and within that, there's a merch store. Click on shop, and shop to your heart's content. It's almost the holidays.
You've cut off your head, though, in a floating head.
Yeah, it's not a great Photoshop.
No, we like that. No, it's fantastic.
Yeah. We like that.
Yeah, we do like that. It's exactly the way we wanted it, other than the fact that there's no show logo on the entire shirt,
Greg,
front or back.
Please, the floor is yours. And please, calm down, breathe easy.
I know.
So that you don't run out of breath. No one's going to cut you off.
Right.
Great sights.
Say whatever it is that you like.
Okay.
About the Miami Dolphins, have at it.
Okay. To your point, and you know, they're about to play the best team in football last night, or next week, the best team in football that looked like it last night. So don't get me wrong. They very well could lose to Buffalo.
By 1,000 points.
When I wrote, I wrote that Sunday was a quote-unquote career-redefining performance by Tua. And the first comment to that tweet was, so you're going to call for his benching next week? So I am aware that we go, particularly with Tua, with just about any quarterback but the Allens.
Greg,
we go week by week.
Greg, I'm not kidding you when I tell you the thing around Tua is the strangest thing I have seen in my history covering sports in this market with an athlete, where everyone's confused and the passion is on such the extremes where everybody wants to be right on this guy's either awful or he's great or he's Garoppolo.
Stranger than Pokey Reese?
Ha!
than that he disappeared.
He was here one day and gone the next. Yeah. I mean, we've never found
that
him.
That happened to Alfred Oglesby, right. too, didn't it?
Did.
And yes. he made, made up a story right. about being abducted.
He did. Yeah. Good story, though. If you're going to lie, man, do it creatively.
Never found Pokey Reese.
By the way, Dan, thank you for not cutting me off. As I was just beginning to talk about Tua and the Dolphins.
He made that promise, too.
He has entered the league under more strange circumstances than anybody, because he's not Burrow, he's not Herbert. They wanted Deshaun Watson, they wanted Tom Brady, Eljack, they wanted everybody but Tua. Even his own team disrespected him. And now, for the first time, I think, for the first time in 2+ years, we're coming around to the idea that, wow, granted, it takes 2 great receivers, as it did for Marino for much of his career, but we're coming around to the idea that Tua is good enough, and he can be really good. Why? Because it starts with accuracy, okay? Tyreek Hill wasn't lying when he said that, that Tua throws a more accurate ball than Mahomes. Mike McDaniel wasn't lying on your show when he said he throws the most catchable ball he's seen. If your starting point is accuracy, you have a pretty good a foundation.
1 quarter, though.
It's not the first time.
What my point is that we are now making this so small on an analysis sample size that legitimately it's gone from I hope he's chaos factor in fantasy. I hope to he's given you 1 quarter. It's here. And do you trust that? Because I want to be excited that way, too. I'd like to just sit there and cheer and wave pom-poms, too. But the 7 quarters before that didn't look like that quarter.
Right.
We will not abide by this.
This is disrespectful. Yeah,
they also didn't need to look like that quarter because he's never been playing down by 21
points. It was
points.
A half.
It was 2 quarters.
He's 4-0 against Belichick.
Okay. I think I speak from a unique perspective in this market in that I am a journalist, an impartial journalist, but I also grew up a Dolphin fan. So
I
have to weigh both sides.
Love that.
Yes, I root for fairness in life as in journalism. But no, you don't trust Tua right now because of 1 quarter, as you say, but you allow yourself to hope. Okay, before Sunday, the whole narrative around Tua is he's just, boy, I doubt if he's good enough. He's just, even at his best, he's just not that. Is he going to be great? Blah, blah, blah. Now I think you've seen a ceiling. I think you've seen how good he can be, particularly with the infusion of Tyreek Hill. And so that's all. You can't trust yet. Tua's always going to be day by day and play by play. But you're allowed to hope now and not be ridiculed. You're allowed to see what you saw Sunday and think the best.
You're allowed to believe that maybe he's not the Jimmy Garoppolo, even Kirk Cousins. We saw another bit of evidence that...
Or Tannehill.
Right,
as you're watching quarterbacks...
Tannehill might be done.
Stugatz, the way the analysis changes, right? Because Doug Peterson was able to win a Super Bowl with that Eagles team and a backup quarterback, Nick Foles, who played the game the way Jalen Hurts does not.
Right.
And now you watch the Eagles and you're like, well, wait a minute. Jalen and Tua are in the same situation. They've got this year to decide, and if I overwhelm you with talent on offense and get value from the quarterback position, the whole evaluation of the position changes over the last 5 years.
But with Tua, you will also allow for the fact that this will be up and down, and unless he proves over a period of 8 to 10 games, not just of winning, because he's won games. He has a very good record. It's about good performance and drive in, drive out, moving the ball down the field, making 3rd and 8 not seem like this massive ordeal, which to me, until Sunday, it has been. I didn't trust Tua on 3rd and long, and he made 2nd and longs and 3rd and longs into fairly easy conversions. Until he does that on a regular basis, I am still not going
He's
to
not
trust.
Throwing 6 touchdowns on a regular basis. He can play well on a regular basis,
but it's also,
though.
You guys are just constantly moving the goalposts with him just to be right. It's like, I've never seen him do it. It's like, well, he did well, do it again. It's like,
right.
He's had 2 games. He's won them both. He had a historic game for the franchise the last time he played. And it's like, well, do it again.
Witty, you love the Dolphins. You have a monster game this Sunday at Dolphin Stadium. Bills, Dolphins, both teams 2-0.
You get 2 games in 5 days because they're at the Bengals on a Thursday night.
Well, the reason you have that game is because of what Tua did against the Ravens. Like, and now you're telling them to do it again.
I am.
Do it against Josh Allen.
I am.
I'm so proud of you.
I mean, you look at the top quarterbacks in the league. They do it every week.
How about do How about do it against the Bengals? You know?
Why?
Like, you can take away.
Can't do it against the Bills.
I'm just saying, let's not panic if he doesn't look amazing against the best team in the NFL. Like, I think
agreed.
We don't. Like, I'm okay agreed. If we lose to the Bills, and then if we're 3-1 after this schedule to start the season, like, I am going, like, we could lose. We get our asses kicked.
Wow,
I will be skipping out of that.
The expectation 2-1. Before the season, the expectation was through the first four games they'd maybe be 1-3 or 2-2.
If they're 2-1 walking out of that game, I'm going to be skipping out of there.
This is how crazy it's gotten to 2-0 with Tua. I've never heard you and the Dolphins be a we. I've never heard you be a proud couple.
I had a brief time with the Chargers, but outside of that, it's been a we. Right.
Well, Billy, what do you think that I want to be about?
You guys just are unrealistic. It's like you want him to be 16-0, and he's not going to be that. And everybody knows that he's not the best quarterback in the league. But he's good enough, and he proved that he was good enough this week. And it's like, well, he has to be 3-0. He has to beat the Bills. And then he has to be 4-0. And it's like, what team do you expect to be 3-0, 4-0, and have a perfect season?
You guys made fun of me on God Bless Football because I said I'd rather have Justin Herbert in defeats than Tua in wins.
Yeah.
And it's because it's about level of performance. Justin Herbert delivers a consistent level of performance.
You play to win the game.
What you said was you'd rather have the Marino years than a year of Dilfer. And winning
Correct.
A Super Bowl,
Correct.
Which is ludicrous. Yeah,
right.
But Tua for a half displayed that he can be better than Dilfer. I don't think wanting to see it again is out of line. I understand what Billy is saying, but on the balance of the season, 6 of his 8 quarters have been meh, right? After week 1, we were not impressed. We were doing the same exact Tua show we've always done. At halftime, I saw a lot of poisonous Tua rhetoric.
For sure.
And then one of the best halves of football. Right. We've ever seen. It's not unreasonable to say, okay, let's start putting together some consistent effort so we can finally get away from having the discussion of what is this guy?
Tua could win the Super Bowl and you guys still wouldn't give him credit for anything.
No
You'd
doubt.
Say I'd rather have Justin Herbert do it consistently when he hasn't done shit.
Well,
that's just the way that it is with this guy. People don't like, he's Tebow. He's Tim Tebow, but more skilled. People don't want to see him succeed. They want to see him fail so they can say, I told you so.
I think that's harsh.
Yesterday they were chanting Tua sucked in Buffalo when it had nothing to do with Tua. It's Monday Night Football.
I completely
They're
agree.
Nervous.
You don't think people want to see Tua fail?
I thought you were leveling that accusation at me. No, I agree that he has become this sort of lightning rod for conversation. Nationally, it's kind of, to Dan's point, astounding what's happened in this city and in others that Tua has become this. He's another one of these first take single word kind of figures. You mentioned Tebow. There's so many throughout the years that they've had, LeBron being another, where it's just you say one word and it elicits a reaction.
I don't think he's in that category.
No, not yet.
I think we are in the prison of the Miami market right now.
You could also do it with Baker and Dak Prescott's contract. I think that there are national topics that there is general fatigue on. And when the Bills fans are saying Tua sucks, it's not just because it's a division rival. It's because they're sick of hearing about him. I hear more about Tua on most weeks than I hear about Josh Allen. It's just because he's such a captivating topic. And there is starting to be fatigue around him.
Mina Kimes came on this show and said, I tiptoe around criticizing Tua because of how crazy the criticism and how crazy the reaction is. I don't think she would say that about too many NFL quarterbacks, and I'm afraid of angering the fan base that he plays for because they're rabid and insane.
Well, he's polarizing.
Good.
You're either in his camp or you're not, and you're willing to fight on either side. His 2 interceptions on Sunday were awful. They weren't tip balls. They were both his fault.
That's not true. The first one was a tipped ball that was intercepted.
Yes.
It was a bad decision he made. He threw into he threw into a place he shouldn't have.
But it was a tipped ball.
But he threw into double coverage.
Yeah, but tipped balls are often the quarterback's fault, too.
Yeah, I mean, and this one clearly was. The point is, both of those interceptions were clearly his fault. So you're ready to say, here goes Tua again. Damn him. And then he throws 6 touchdown passes. I think what Sunday did for him, in addition to allow fans to hope a little bit about him, is it gave him a little benefit of doubt. I think if he throws an interception early in the first quarter against Buffalo, you're less inclined to go, all right, here goes Tua again. You're thinking, well, no, we came back for teams had been 0-771 in the NFL before they came back from a 21-point fourth quarter lead. That is what Tua can do.
When did we start doing this by quarter? He's had two good games. They're 2-0. He leads the NFL in every single stat. Had, two good games, Chris. Yes.
Two good games. They had 13 games. Offensive points in week one.
Okay, they won the game.
No, but that's...
They're 2-0.
You cannot be so reductive and say that Tua performed
I can be that
well.
Reductive. NFL, I am that reductive. Yeah. NFL, whatever that means.
But, but you're not doing that every single time.
Sounds like an insult.
You're not doing it with all these great court. Like, if Mahomes wins a game where he like has... You're not doing this every time.
Well, how did Aaron Rodgers look? How did Aaron Rodgers look so far?
No, but guys, here's the major difference, okay? This is what you want Tua to be, and he's not that because very few guys are, okay? Patrick Mahomes doesn't need to rekill. Tua needs to rekill to be good. Patrick Mahomes doesn't need him. Like, he's shown that already. He doesn't need him.
But who cares?
Aaron Rodgers is good with any wide receiver.
But who cares?
Tua needs these.
But
no,
what's the point?
I don't care.
But what's the point? Are you trying to win the game?
No,
or are you trying to just
Billy,
get meaningless stats and compile?
I'm with
like,
you. That's
the
difference.
Do you guys not want the Dolphins to win these games?
He's
Would you rather
good.
Them lose?
He's good, not great. He's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
I wouldn't say they're meaningless stats and compiling what Mahomes is doing, but I think that there's a lot that goes into this season because of the Stephen Ross tampering thing. The Dolphins did right by Tua. They gave him weapons, and they've changed how he looks. He had his greatest game in his career specifically because the weapons they provided him on the outside, and that's what this year was all about, to finally get an answer to all of our questions. And now the stakes have been ratcheted up because they lost draft capital with the tampering stuff, so they kind of need Tua to be good now.
And don't forget Terron Armstead, the tackle, who's made a big difference. Tua was only sacked once Sunday. He was not under a hell of a lot of pressure.
We can't forget him.
No.
Okay.
Well,
I won't let you.
We have now become that show after two games, and we are doing this quarter to quarter, and we're going to annoy the holy hell out of the audience by doing this much to us.
Well, you guys just want to be right. That's the thing. Well, You'd rather be right than happy.
You keep doing this to me where you say you guys, and my shameful admission is I've largely been a coward on Tua, saying can't evaluate it, don't know, don't understand, and you've made me one of the loudest critics when I heard the parade of gas bags that got thrown out there yesterday. I haven't said anything like those things. You know why? Because I don't understand whether he's going to be good or not. Because I've watched two seasons with that offensive line and him injured, and I'm like, okay, is he? I don't know. But it's not popular or easy to say I don't know. It's not worth anything to say I don't know. I've been saying I don't know for 2 years the same way I was saying I don't know on Ryan Tannehill for seven of them. I don't know how to do the analysis, and now we're doing it quarter to quarter. What is the criticism you'd like to stick to me? Because I'll be that public face on ripping Tua if there are sounds that by saying you guys are saying they're going to win the Super Bowl after two games, we sound like the show we make fun of.
Billy, I sort of want to say that for me, the criticism that I've levied against Tua is not because I am like I want to be right or I come on here and for me being right. It's actually a manifestation of my emotion as a fan. Yeah. I want to live the charmed existence that the Buffalo Bills fans live, where every year I don't have to ask what's going on with my quarterback.
Buffalo Bills don't have a charmed existence.
Well, I'm saying right now they do because they enter the year knowing that they're a Super
There's
Bowl contender.
There's five quarterbacks
the Chiefs,
in the world
I know,
like that.
I want one of them. Well, but yeah, is that
you
supposed to ask? I don't want to have
one.
I
didn't win you anything. Yeah.
I don't want to have the Ryan Tannehill argument for 7 years. Kirk Cousins is entering year five as the Vikings starter, and every year they go into the ad, do we have something at quarterback? I don't want to live that life anymore.
It's probably an outlier, but you just cited a fan base that you're jealous of that spent 2 years asking it, whether or not that quarterback is
correct.
The guy.
For sure.
Correct.
100%. Good comment by Mike.
And now they're plus 275 to win the AFC.
Good comment.
Do you want to do this?
Yeah, let me
do
a running commentary.
I love you just doing the entire show. You saying, like, giving us points for whether or not there was a good comment.
Here's one more. Dear Tua, all you have to do to make Chris Whittingham happy is throw six touchdowns each week. That's all. And then he's going to be happy. Come on.
It's not six touchdowns every
week. Well,
there
were also those two bad passes that he could have done without, Greg.
Well, this is the other thing. Billy, what I do love.
Thank you.
Good point, Billy. What I can't help but notice in all of this is Greg Cody and the rest of us. With what is happening on the insanity of that field, last night you saw in one of the games they do the tempered tempo of ambulance on the field. We've got to low the energy, everybody for 2 or 3 minutes, and then action resumes again, and you forget that somebody after the applause is being carted off to the hospital. As we're in the middle of that, you can't help but be inspired by Greg Cody or the rest of us coming over and being like, with all that insanity around Tua, you threw two bad ones. Of the 50, two of them were really bad decisions. The standard is now in such a high place that I ask you to consider this, the deep ball. You know how hard it is to complete that 60 yards downfield when a guy's not that open? Like, you got to be pretty accurate on the deep ball. It's not the easiest of passes to make, even if you do have the arm strength. And if somebody, if Josh Allen overthrew somebody in the end zone yesterday, and I'm like, you got to make that throw.
Right. Threw it too far. It's easy for him to make those throws.
With the two throws.
No, I'm saying it's hard. I know, accurately, I know. 40 yes. yards downfield to be so precise that your guy running 1 yard in front of another incredibly fast guy, and we're right there to tell you, oh, you got the standard is so high now with all of these guys.
He's got nine guys flying in his face.
You threw two bad ones. To
I mean, well, you want to trust him to not throw the two bad ones in crucial spots. Look at Thursday Night Football. Justin Herbert threw one bad one. They lost the game because of it.
Yeah.
And you want Tua to, at least, I think, if I can speak for Witty, I think Witty just wants to trust that when this team loses, if they lose, Tua's not going to be the reason for it. And I don't think he's got that level of trust yet that he still sees the deficiencies, and he hasn't proven it enough on the field for him to trust Tua in that way.
But he can be the reason for the loss. Every quarterback is the reason for losses right. in certain times. What is Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs? Always the reason for the losses when they lose.
Well, yeah. not always, but I get your
Sometimes
point.
Sometimes he is though.
No, yeah, you can't be like it's an astounding mark that Tua might have to hit for Chris Whittingham to move off of his position and admit he was wrong.
Be Patrick Mahomes seems like the standard.
But is that not what he was in college though? Like that is sort of what I'm judging him against. How good he was in college.
Yeah, but Tebow was like Jalen the greatest Hurts. College right. player ever.
But I mean, it went about it differently. Like, Tua would throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
But Whitty, you can win with Matthew Stafford. He's not those guys. They won a Super Bowl last year.
He wants to see the guy that they yanked Jalen Hurts for and just lit up a Georgia secondary.
Did see that yesterday. You did.
Yeah.
Or right. Sunday.
Yeah, you did see but it. But I thought he would be that every week. And I know it's harsh as well. He's coming off a major hip injury that might have changed him forever. We don't know if he'll ever be physically the same. But that in my football life, I like to have it once.
But in college, he also played all-star team on an all-star team Correct. Every single right. week against teams that were Correct. Not the same.
Correct. And now
he didn't have the pieces.
And he's got a much
year.
Better context now because they have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki, who was underrated on Sunday. That touchdown catch that he had was incredible. And so the skill position talent is absolutely a huge part of it. But I thought that Tua was a generational quarterback. There was a whole thing where Dolphins fans got angry that they were winning games because they wanted the number one overall pick because that's what it took to get Tua because he was that special of a prospect.
Yeah, tank for Tua.
And that guy that I sort of pinned my hopes to, he's not proven to be that
just,
so far.
Just to take the next steps
Except
in the conversation.
Sunday.
Because Sunday, the Miami Dolphins play in the biggest game of the NFL week, I think, against Buffalo.
Yeah, game of the week.
If Tua puts up another consistent effort and outplays Josh Allen in a Dolphins victory, then we can stop having the discussion, what is Tua, and move on to being like super excited about
Chris,
this team.
Chris
this
Cody,
market.
I think, is expecting to be slaughtered. I don't. Stugatz came in today. I think we caught it at the beginning of the show. He's like, you know what today was or today is, right, Dan? The Bills get to sit back in their chair, Bills fans, and their belly gets to go out a little further than Dolphin
yes,
fans,
yes.
and they can be a little more satisfied.
Stick it out, Buffalo.
While looking at the Dolphins and saying, prove it to me. He said last right. night was a prove it to me game for some reason for the Bills and Josh Allen, and now everyone in the league is on notice.
Yeah.
They don't have to prove anything anymore. We know if they're healthy, they're going to be really hard to stop by anybody.
They're done proving, Dan. You're right.
What's the early line? I'm guessing
5.5.
Is it only?
Yeah, 5.5. Wow. I think that's right on the money.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
The thing about Josh Allen is he's kind of like bizarre
money
Tom
line.
Brady in that he plays really well in Miami.
Right.
Like that, he looks forward to this trip.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, take the Bills.
I would love to go to that game as an NFL fan. That's a game of the week.
You know what's interesting about what was seen from Tua this season is that Mike McDaniel comes over as the run game whisperer. We haven't seen a great Dolphins running game yet, so we haven't seen Tua operating out of a balanced offense where the defense actually fears the run. We also haven't seen much RPO out of Tua. Tua's a very mobile quarterback. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts, but he's a very mobile quarterback, and the Dolphins offense so far hasn't gotten that from him yet, which it could.
Late arriving Roy Bellamy, have any Dolphin opinions? I've gotten every fandom here. Billy is, I love Billy is now angry and saying...
I'm not angry. I'm chill. Okay. Me and Tua hanging out with lays around our necks.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Just fighting off the haters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. You are looking for haters, though. You are in...
I'm not looking for haters. They're finding me, baby. I'm just here. Okay, I'm minding my P's and Q's over here on Tua Island, and we just have people coming after us left and right.
I've got to say that I think that one of the greatest things in sports is when you get to be the fan searching out the haters. When you get one Monday or Tuesday, you get to go find the haters. It's a good position you've carved out for yourself, Billy. Chris is in. Chris Cody is in the position.
I'm taking names, by the way. Booger McFarland, Keyshawn Johnson.
Receipts, you're one of them. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying that are criticizing Tua.
Right, but you have been getting blown out this week.
Well, I have perspective. I don't think they're going to go 16-0. I think you can leave that game and you're still good, man.
Are you happy 38-35 Bills? You have to be ecstatic with that, right?
Dude, Winningham wants that game. I'm going to be...
You'd rather have that game than win 13-10.
I will be skipping out of that stadium regardless of the score. 2-1.
That's a good question. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. If you're a Dolphin fan, would you rather lose 48-45 against the Bills or beat them 9-6?
Have we ever seen anything like this so early in the betting markets to have a team plus 275 to win the conference, but also like plus 400 in some books to be the Super Bowl champion? Josh Allen's a heavy favorite to win the NFL MVP. They just dominated the reigning Super Bowl champs at home. They just dominated the last year's one seed in the AFC.
Crazy.
And now they march into Miami, a 5-point road favorite. If the Dolphins hang in this game, I do think that you can take a moral victory. Yes.
Billy, though,
I'm not buying the Bills. I've been telling you this whole time. Don't buy the Bills.
You accuse me of being entrenched. That's being entrenched.
Unless the Bills win the Super Bowl. Unless the Bills win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be right. Do it in these games that don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm a 1-32 chance of being wrong.
I fizzled in the playoffs.
I think Billy's right. It is Super Bowl or bust for Buffalo. And that is a terrifying spot to be in if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. Your expectations as a Buffalo Bills fan cannot be Super Bowl or bust historically.
It's exciting as we've got in front of us in Cody and Stugatz, both of them on the record as predicting already that the Dolphins will win the Super Bowl. So it might not be Super Bowl or bust, but that's what's happening next to me. I've told you what's happening with Billy. You hear what's happening with Whittingham. Mike Ryan, who is sitting out all fandom but might want to take up the Dolphins, might want to, as an NFL fan, sniff around the Dolphins to see if they want your free agency fandom. Chris Cody is in a place where I think most Dolphin fans are, snorting the cocaine of Sunday, scared of the Bills, still have two decades of history to remind you.
He's starting to come down a little bit.
That you are a loser, but you want to hope.
I just want to enjoy this feeling that I have right now. Why you guys just let me enjoy this week?
Because the Bills are here to take it away from you. That's what the fear, this is what feels good and bad about what's going to be on. Man, you're headed for either Monday... Trust me when I tell you, if they lose 41-13, it's going to go right back on Monday to not celebrating Josh Allen on television, but being about Tua wasn't good for those four quarters. He's going to have bought himself nothing because we're doing this quarter to quarter. But Roy, you've been a lifelong fan of this team as well, correct?
That's right.
Where are you? You are a professional stoic. You are a person. We never see your allegiances for anybody except the Panthers. And when we talk to you about the Panther playoff run, your quotes are like, they've got to get business done tonight. It's not very emotional.
I have never said those words ever.
That's a good quote.
It's usually about the forecheck.
It's a good quote. Yeah.
It
was excellent last year, the forecheck.
Where is Roy Bellamy as a lifelong Dolphin fan on everything that's happening with the stupid fandom in this room?
On the fence as usual.
As usual.
Yesterday was a
uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah. Man, listen, I'm very happy for the Dolphins after what happened yesterday, even though I didn't see the game. Two days ago, it was on Sunday.
I was at the movies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the movies.
What were you seeing?
What a nice Sunday afternoon.
I saw The Woman King.
Wow.
The Woman King with Viola Davis. Excellent movie. I saw it in 4DX. In the 40X movie theater, which is where the seats move, and then they got the special effects with the water spritzing, like pretending like it's like blood splatter. It was a lot of fun watching that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's you had right. blood splatter.
Take your
on you
daughter to see that.
What? Yeah, it was water representing
I'm
blood
a parent,
splatter.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Claire was not there.
So did the Ravens.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roy.
Nonetheless, I'm very happy for the Dolphins win.
No. If you don't watch the game, your opinion is invalid. That's you don't even care. Sent you up as a Dolphin fan, and you're like, I didn't watch the game. Right. I was getting water splattered at the movie theater.
Listen, I heard the first half on the radio, driving to the movie theater.
What is this?
Yes, exactly. When I left the theater, they won.
I got to tell you, as an NFL fan, I am offended at your attempt to have life balance. Do not do that on NFL Sunday.
Well, my family's
here. Do not do that ever as an NFL Sunday.
You're doing it way wrong. My wife hates me right now because I skipped a family outing on Sunday. That's how you do it, Roy. What are you doing? I mean, geez.
Yep, Sunday is your day, Roy.
Uh-huh.
Since when?
Thank you.
What do you mean?
Since when?
Since when is any day my day, actually, come to think of it.
That should be a poll question, by the way.
Hey, hey.
If your wife is pissed at you on Sundays, are you doing it right?
Yeah. Christopher didn't mention that he was doing his work at Flanagan's and his wife doesn't know that.
Is that right, Chris Cody? Is it true? Your father has accused you.
Don't put that on the air.
It's already on the air. What do you mean don't put it on the air?
You said it into a microphone.
Right
into
the microphone. God, I thought we were off air.
Chris Cody, your father has betrayed you and has now told people that you were working, quote unquote, working at Flanagan's. Which is
that's an absurd lie. I was at Twin Peaks. And I am working there. I don't have the NFL ticket, okay? If I want to watch every game at once, honey.
There you go.
That's where I got to go. Yeah.
Working the chicken wings is what you were working.
Nah, I had a chicken sandwich.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
I feel like we need to normalize saying the scientific terms for organs on the air.
If someone,
you know what? If someone takes a foul ball to the penis, we should just say he took a foul ball to the penis.
Mm-hmm. Stugatz.
That free kick hit him right in the cock-a-doodle-doo.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Can you guys answer for me the following? Heavy.com is reporting that an anonymous NBA executive has said that the Heat were better with Gabe Vincent on the floor last year than with Kyle Lowry.
During the regular season or all of it, including that postseason?
Postseason injured at the end.
Irrefutable.
Included.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Irrefutable that Gabe Vincent was an upgrade over Kyle Lowry in the postseason.
And as Kyle Lowry gets into shape or looks different on Twitter, and you have 3 years, $85 million tied up in Kyle Lowry, and you saw during the season the unavailability of Kyle Lowry when he was in the game, they played fast and the offense was spread out, and then when the postseason came, Kyle Lowry couldn't be trusted in any way. They weren't playing fast anymore, and then what happened in the playoffs is it's just Jimmy Butler all the time, and they do look better with Gabe Vincent because he's 26 and not injured and he's fast, but when I say look better, they were a lesser team than they were in the regular season when the best they were getting from point guard is the best of Gabe Vincent.
It would appear, considering how this offseason's turned out for Miami, which I think at this point you can label it fairly as disappointing. Now all your eggs are in Kyle Lowry's offseason regimen. That is the big plan right now, because if Kyle Lowry, who appears to be in shape, and if he's healthy, and if he was what he was when he's at his best last year.
Not just that, though, but the health of Hero is also, like, all of these evaluations on team construction do come down to health. Like
five teams got better. You maybe caught a break a little bit with the Danilo injury, but Miami needs players to level up. Expecting Kyle Lowry to level up at what, 37 years old? That's a tough situation to be in. Tyler Hero, hopefully still ascending, but it's been a bad offseason, man.
It's terrible offseason. Their biggest move is losing PJ Tucker, a pretty valuable piece. Other than that, they're dormant. You know, and granted, he wasn't healthy, but what we saw in the playoffs from Kyle Lowry at his age left you thinking this is a guy on career fumes, and whatever move they make in the offseason, God hope it includes Kyle Lowry out of here.
There is a scenario in which they improve on last year's form, and it is entirely on Kyle Lowry.
If he's in shape.
Being in shape and being his best self.
That's not the only option. They have not signed Jay Crowder or extended Hero because they still are leaving the space open for something to happen in the next few months that allow them to add one of the pieces they haven't been able to add so far.
Right. If they bring in Crowder, you could say lateral move from what PJ Tucker brought to the table last year.
Just again, though, the reason they've done nothing, this is not up for dispute.
They
correct?
Were a game away from the NBA Finals,
but,
guys.
Yeah. No, but they lost.
They might have been a wrong three-point
right.
call.
Yeah.
They're not better.
No,
it can't be argued that they're better, and their other teams in the conference have clearly gotten better.
Yep.
The thing I'm saying to you is, if they sign Jay Crowder, you should be disappointed because it means they're out on Durant or one of those giant moves that they cleared up.
Well,
they played all or nothing.
Yeah.
They played all or nothing this offseason. And so when you guys say now, hugely disappointing offseason, it wasn't even to add a Donovan Mitchell. They were playing all or nothing on Kevin Durant.
Right. They got nothing except for the team that was at game 7 in a Jimmy Butler 3-point attempt, in which I don't know if you saw Jason Tatum's interview with Taylor Rooks, but he was terrified of that shot. That's how I know it was a good shot, because Boston didn't want him to take it. Everybody's heart was in their throats. For me, with the Miami Heat, I feel like the other teams, they were all in on Kevin Durant too. They were trying, but they still found ways to get better. Miami hasn't right now, and your hope is that a 37-year-old Kyle Lowry can somehow improve, and that Tyler Hero can somehow take that next step, and guys like Strus and Duncan Robinson, maybe you can get something out of him, can continue to develop, and that's not a great situation to be in. We'll say there is always another disgruntled superstar. Always. Even when you think there isn't. The one is going to come out of left field that you're not going to think is going to be available come that trade deadline, and Miami will still once again be in on that.
But Shams told us that they weren't, that they didn't call after Summer League. So, like, at a certain point, they weren't trying to get better. Like, they didn't go after Donovan Mitchell very hard. They didn't go after Kevin Durant very hard. So they weren't actively trying to land these superstars.
I believe that they weren't at all interested in Donovan Mitchell because Pat Riley just knew that he wasn't going to be able to deal with Danny Ainge. That he wasn't going to take part in whatever Danny Ainge was trying to do with the trade market. And they got a very clear signal from Brooklyn that the Durant thing wasn't happening. And Miami is very keen. That's why they don't want any leaks. They hate that stuff being out there because of how it disrupts the locker room.
He would have dealt with Danny Ainge plenty if Danny Ainge had Kevin Durant. And if Danny Ange didn't want 1,000 draft picks, which the Miami...
But he always does, so he didn't.
But that's how every trade in the NBA works now. Every trade in the NBA is 3 picks and 2 swaps, minimum. And so the Heat are, I think, biding their time to really go all in on something, but in the interim have left themselves exposed with a bunch of guys who you're asking for internal improvement, but a lot of low-ceiling role players are entering year 4.
I think it can be said without dispute as analysis today, you know, a week before media day kicks off, the team being reintroduced to us, it's not just that they haven't gotten better. They've gotten worse. You lose PJ Tucker and the things that he brought, it makes you worse, and you create a distance in the conference where more teams are at the top of it because of how they improved. You're worse. as of now, this offseason leaves the Heat worse than they were last year. But they were really good last year. It just means that now you've got to fear healthy Milwaukee. You probably should have feared them last year. If Middleton had been playing, you might not have had the season that you had relying on just Jimmy Butler with your injured team at the end. You might have lost to Milwaukee right after Boston. But Milwaukee might have ended Boston and then ended you soon thereafter.
It's not just the contenders that got better. It's the teams that aren't too far away, or at least the fan bases that don't think they're too far away from Miami also getting better. Teams like Atlanta took steps this offseason. Cleveland took steps this offseason. So I'm concerned about Miami. As they get older and the young teams get better with progression and add talent, Miami's in a precarious situation.
I'm struggling with this conversation. We're talking basketball. It's football season. I mean, I am currently looking at the passing yard leaders in the NFL. Number one, Tua. Number two, Carson Wentz. Number three, Joe Flacco. I mean, what a time to be alive.
That's basically a random name generator.
Wow. Take a photo of that standing. Wow.
Giannis also is getting better in a way the Heat's best players are not.
You're also relying upon, another A-level Jimmy Butler season.
Right.
And as the years go on, that becomes a little bit less likely. I still think he'll give you a lot, but there is a chance that the Tibbs minutes catch up. There is a chance that he is not the absolute A-level superstar that he was in the playoffs to get you from within a shot of the finals.
Stugatz, where are you on your dueling takes, even though you're checking passing standings? Well, you've got Giannis.
Flacco.
You've got Giannis winning all future titles and Tatum winning a bunch of future titles as well.
Right.
And Giannis is getting, when I say he's getting better, Jimmy Butler, whatever he is, this is what he is. He's not going to continue improving. Giannis, if you're watching him, he seems to continue to grow as a basketball player. This seems to be still something in his prime.
I have Giannis still winning, like four or five championships, and Tatum probably winning like two or three, something like that. And
we're doing the mistake.
And Durant never winning one.
I think we're making a sincere mistake in looking at the top of last year's Eastern Conference when it's not sexy to say Brooklyn also got better.
They did.
Because we're getting out of the pandemic, and the Kyrie Irving thing shouldn't be as messy as it was, although he's out there reposting Alex Jones right now. Brooklyn is also a major issue in this conference. That's why you wanted to get Kevin Durant, not only for you, but to take him away from them.
Because Simmons is returning for them, and we've got another season where we're going to be able to talk about that.
They also got good ancillary pieces, I'm telling you. No one wants to talk about Brooklyn. In my mind, Brooklyn's a favorite.
It's all we've done is talk about Brooklyn.
No, I know, but not now that no one's really established the pivot in that Durant's back, and they're running it back. And if they're healthy and not as crazy, they're obviously a team that you have to talk about.
The Miami Heat is looking like a 10 seed.
Well, I think five is
a fair way to break down Miami's chances.
Yeah, there's three or four teams in the East that you could argue should be number one, and one of them is not Miami. They're just not in the mix.
You could have people pick Cleveland over Miami. You could have people in their own division pick
the Hawks.
They're
not in the mix. They're not in the mix.
They're not in the mix to be number one.
They're not in the mix.
No, they're going to be lucky to have a home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs.
They're not in the mix.
Not in the mix.
That's
crazy.
Just out of the mix.
You just had him as a 10
seed. Greg, I'm going to pay it back.
I was joking.
That was an excellent point by Greg Cody.
Thank you.
It was. I don't expect the Miami Heat to have a home court advantage in the first round.
There you go. What about a second? You and I on that take.
We have great takes.
We're there.
You know who is in the mix?
Who's that?
Dolphins.
Yeah.
You're not sure.
Yeah. Play the Bills.
You better get it in this week. Yeah. You better get it in this week, Chris Cody. You're so scared of the Bills.
Josh Allen's coming.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey,
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.